Okay, welcome to another late night post-game NBA Finals post-game edition of the Kickback Podcast. Gavin, the Indiana Pacers are now two wins away from an NBA title as they beat OKC 116 to 107 to take that 2-1 series lead. I'll keep it simple. I don't think many people outside the Hoosier State had anything like this happening. Although I did on the pod yesterday say the Pacers were taking game three.
I think you and James and everybody, well, you and James.
Oh, yeah, James did. James did.
You and James. I was one that, yeah. Because I had Thunder in four, but go ahead, man. Or I had Thunder winning game three and then Pacers winning four.
No, I mean, you know, it was a really good back and forth affair. Tyrese Haliburton met the moment tonight, and he was exceptional. 22 points on 9-17 for shooting. Real quick, on a side note regarding that, I was actually before we hopped on, I was going through my Instagram reels, and CBS Sports said it. Ken's Brooks, particularly. Said it's a good night to take Haliburton on the over 17.5. He finished with 22. So yeah, if you bet him on the over, I hope you cash out well on that. 9-17 on shoot.
My fan player updated. I couldn't put it in. yo, I'm looking at this ticket. I had half this shit.
Well, you're
I mean, excuse ticket. My friends, ladies and gentlemen.
While Gavin's ticket did not meet the moment. Haliburton
didn't get a chance to go in.
That's what I'm saying. Didn't meet the moment. 9-17 on shooting to go with 9 boards and 11 assists. Benedict Mathurin off the bench with 27 in 22 minutes, and he got to the line 8 times. Big difference tonight was the Pacers getting to the line more frequently. Pascal Siakam poured in 19 on 7-13 with shooting. TJ McConnell, former Sixer, even pitched in with 10 points and 5 assists and 5 steals in 15 minutes. Another interesting stat to kind of flip the pancake from game two. The Pacers forced 19 Thunder turnovers and scored 17 points in transition. So on a latter note, they got back to Indiana basketball, playing in transition, playing free with pace. I'll go back to what I said a few moments ago. Not many people outside of the Hoosier State had the series going like this, but here we are. Gavin, talk to the people.
Well, first off, Dom, I just want to say that was a great game from start to finish. Both teams kept it within one or two of each other. It just felt like Indiana had this one from the moment, and it started early in the day. It started with the Pat McAfee show and the fans showing up there. It started with the energy of and carrying throughout the city in Indy. And then you got the game time. And then you just see, like, you got production from guys like Benedict Mathurin, and then you had Tyrese Haliburton. We said, who almost had a triple-double, too, Dom. 22-11-9, like you said. But if you think about it right, the Indiana Pacers were just hitting shots when they needed the most. When the Thunder would hit a big shot, they answered up with a big shot times two. There was a possession, I believe, where, and ladies and forgive me, I was like part, you know, I was multitasking. And Dom, there was a part at the end of the game, the same stuff we said about the Thunder the Pacers in game two were not having great sets and making costly turnovers is what the Thunder did today or just tonight. And it showed. It showed that heavily. I mean, you said it best. The Thunder had 17-19 turnovers. The Indiana had 11 block shots. They also had, you know, they had more points in the paint, 54 to their 46. That's major difference from game two than the game three. Now, here's the thing. Another thing they did well, they held Shai to only 24 points. That is the first game in this playoffs that he hasn't had 30 points since, I want to say, that one of the Nuggets games. So that's two series, basically. Another crucial thing to point out, too, down the production from the Thunder's bench was just not there tonight. 7 from eight from Caruso, four from Hargenstein. You had six from Isaiah Joe, nothing from Aaron Wiggins, a man who made a difference last game, made no impact tonight. The Thunder's bench was cold, and the bench of the Pacers was there when it needed the most. That's kind of the more of the story.
So an underrated antidote from tonight that I don't think has gotten is going to be discussed enough. But as great as this OKC defense has been, they do have a weakness in Nash defensive rebounding. They finished in the regular 19th in the regular season in defensive rebounding percentage, and they were they're 12th out of the 16 teams in the playoffs entering game three tonight. And Indiana finished with 13 second chance points off of offensive rebounds. You know, we discussed Pascal Siakam, but Miles Turner had a great game as well, especially in the fourth quarter defensively. You know, and it from an individual, from a team standpoint, and an individual standpoint, I thought the Pacers were a lot more comfortable out of rotation. For all the critics of drop coverage, it certainly benefited them against SGA tonight. You know, I know he's been averaging 36 in these playoffs, but, you know, 24 is not going to get it done. They missed those extra 10 points tonight, you know, for sure. And, you know, from a team defense standpoint, they did a good job of altering him. And then individually, you know, except Miles Turner made some big plays down the stretch, you know, a couple key blocks. You know, he had some long closeouts where he got a piece of the ball, and you know, he killed some big shots that could have been momentum changing shots. You know, so everything just seemed to go right for Indiana tonight.
Indiana couldn't miss shots at all. And then if you look at a 3-point, if you look at a 3-point shooting, right, of the two teams, granted, Indiana was 9 of 27 from three. Those 9 threes were like gut punching threes. Tyrese Halliburton stepped back on the top of the key. That was a gut punch.
Yeah. I mean, they shot 33% from three. That's effective.
That's effective.
33% from three is like 50% from two.
Also, too, you shot 86% from the 3-point line on a smaller sample size at Oklahoma City's 23 out of 30. Now, that's something else, too, because before, Indiana was not getting to the line. They did not drive in. They were taking these fouls. I mean, Dom, the game is basically set on a foul. It's a foul-driven lead now, basically. Yeah. It kills the pace of play, and me and you both hate it, but that's what it is. It's kind of like Trent said, is it flopping or is it faking or is it just playing within the rules and using it to your advantage? You can literally attack the paint through a move. All you got to do is get a slight amount of contact and just you get a free throw. Something like that. So the fact that they were able to get the line more, the fact that they shot effectively from three, and like I said, those 9 threes that they hit, granted it was only 9 of 27, but they were like impactful ones. And then also too, the Benedict McGrin one where he shot, I think that was what, over Chet, that just switched right in. That was another like gut punch. And that was someone that they needed some help from in the series. If you look at the spread tonight, right? Pascal 21, Madden led the team with 27, Halliburton with 22. McConnell at the bench with 10. They missed that production from Colin last game. Last game, he did not have the same impact as he normally does. And that 15 minutes he brings to the party is crucial.
Yeah.
Clutch steals as well from both parties. I don't know. It just felt like anything the Pacers did tonight couldn't do anything wrong. Everything was just perfect from all cylinders, offensively and defensively.
No, I totally agree. You know, and speaking of TJ McConnell, just a little nugget for you there. He's just the 15th player in NBA history to reach the threshold of a finals game where he had at least 10 points, 5 assists, and 5 rebounds. That's pretty good. He's in pretty good company with Jimmy Butler, Rick Barrett, John Havlicek, AI, Draymond, Scottie Pippen, Rondo, Isaiah Thomas, Mo Cheeks, LeBron, and Michael Jordan twice.
That's pretty good for overrated guy, right?
I mean, you know what? He's one of these guys that it's clear, you know, he's found his home. You know, and he's another example. And listen, he, you know, TJ McConnell is a solid role player off the pine. You know, I think we have to take him for what he is at face value, and we're seeing, you know, the fruits of that show up in these finals, and he's a big part of the response for Indy, you know. And it seemed like every time OKC had an thought they were there or thought they were back, you know, back in it, Indy responded, you know. Shit, you know, SGA hit that tough midi, you know, late in the fourth, around like the 2.5 minute mark. But, you know, Nesmith hits that tough three to keep them up by eight. You know, there were so many moments tonight where they just responded. And, you know, I think, to go to the OKC side, you know, there was a lack of focus at times. There was a lack of focus at times that really hurt them.
Characteristic too from what we've seen.
Absolutely.
From what we've seen, like, as large, and we have large sample size of what we've seen in players. When they're laser sharp focus and locked in, they play smooth basketball. This was not their best band in basketball. And the fact that they didn't lose by that much still says that they were in this, but they're the reason why they didn't win this.
Well, and I think that lack of focus also can be attributed to their rotations tonight. You know, I think everybody's talked, you know, we've talked about Tom Thibodeau at length. Everybody's, you know, discussed, you know, the notoriety of, you know, him running guys to the ground in New York. But Mark Dagenal only played seven guys, you know, in the second half. They looked pretty tired. They looked pretty tired. They looked pretty worn. You know, and when you're on the road, that is going to get to you. That's good. You know, that's where adversity really hits you. And then, you know, you pile the turnovers on top of that. You know, it's obviously not a recipe for success. But now, you know, it's going to be interesting to see how OKC responds.
I feel like the response for OKC would be what it was in game two. Laser lock focus. You're going to be hitting more shots, less turnovers. You're going to figure out how, because once again, we fall in a situation, Dom, where we look at what the Pacers did tonight and said, who's going to recreate that? Is Bennett McAdoo going to go for 27 again? Like Obi Toppin went for 20 in game four. So in game one. So like that's where you have to look at. Oklahoma City will be fine. I think they get game four. But it will be interesting to see. And another crucial note, I want to say that last final possession, to your point about Mark Dagenal only running six players, that last possession looked forced. When Shai, like, you would like to see them move the ball. I understand he's the best player, but like they've been guarding each other all night. Your shot wasn't, I don't want to say it wasn't broke. I mean, because Shai still got his, just not in a normal sample size I would normally like to see him as. But I would like to see him do a little something different. It kind of felt like, Don, like we talked about where Pascal Siakam in game two had the ball, swung it to somebody, and then got back and was like, I'm just going to shoot it. Where this one, it was like kind of what we see in New York with Jalen Brunson is you get your best player the best ball. We're not going to run anything. I mean, and then we're just going to go through him, and whatever happens, happens. And that point, the game wasn't really over. It became over after that shot. The moment he missed that shot and the Pacers went on the score, Dadson was like, I wish you did something different in that moment because it would have been a different outcome. Also, too, there was – I mean, this is something else you could talk about as well. The reffing in this game, there was some things like that was missed and some things that weren't called. The Siakam backcourt violation that wasn't called. I mean, people are going to look at that and say, "What? Is it a big deal?" I mean, no, because at the time the game was close. Could have gave OKC another possession, yeah, but at the same time, I mean, that's just one play. That's just one play.
No, I think aside, you know, to me that this comes down to two things for OKC tonight. You know, at SGA having an off night, like I said, missing those, you know, that extra 10 points, it showed they missed it. And then, you know, Mark Dagenal, you know, as much as I like him, you know, he's turned into a great coach into a great head coach in this league, but he pushed the wrong buttons. You know, those guys were sucking wind at the end of the fourth quarter. The Pacers looked like they could play another game. You know, and Indy is the type of team, you know, and I think tonight was the epitome of it. It's hard to knock them out in one punch. It's hard to knock them out in one punch. You know, And I think, you know, reality kind of sets back in where, hey, that 35-9 run we had in the second quarter on Sunday night, you know, we might not be able to get that on the road. We might not be able to get but you might not be able to get that for the rest of this series. You know, I don't think there's going to be, you know, I think it would surprise me. Even if, you know, if OKC wins the finals, which I think, you know, they still very well do, but I don't know if we see another bad two and a half quarters of the Indiana Pacers again, like we did on Sunday night. I think they learned. I don't think they're going to look back. You know, aside from Halliburton just imposing his will, and, you know, we talked about Siakam and Miles Turner, you know, I can't speak enough about how good that bench was tonight for them. You know, Obi Toppin coming off and giving them great minutes. He was plus 18. You know, I believe I just had it in front of me, but the Pacers, yeah. In TJ McConnell's 15 minutes, they were a plus 12. You know, so they got much more of a positive impact off the bench than they've gotten, you know, not just in this series, but in the last, you know, couple stretch of games going back into the middle of the conference finals. So, you know, that was a big point of separation tonight for Indy. You know, I think it's going to be a really good rest of the series going forward. I expect OKC to respond, but I'll tell you what, you know, the Pacers, you know, we've said it before, they are continuing to play with house money. And if they go up 3-1, I mean, that is, I don't know what more you could say.
If you go 3-1, we'll have to look at this Pacers team differently. And the first thing you'll say is the adjustments they made from game 2 to going to game 3 have to be talked about. People forget that Rick Carlisle has been in this situation before, and he's been around for a while. He's been around for
Rick Carlisle, not to cut you off, but I said this after they won the East. Rick Carlisle, this cements Rick Carlisle. This series, this postseason, win the finals or lose the finals, cements Rick Carlisle as a Hall of Fame coach to me. He's the he's only one of two coaches since in the last quarter century to take multiple franchises to the NBA Finals. Larry Brown being the other guy, and he only got one in Detroit. Rick Carlisle got his back in 2011 with Dallas, but he has done a masterful coaching job this postseason. And to me, this cements a Hall of Fame career for him.
To that point, he got this team back. People forget they were there last year. The only reason why no one talks about it is because Tyrese Halliburton goes down.
Yep.
I think it was a hamstring, I believe, correct? I think so.
Yes.
And you get swept by the Boston Celtics in 4, but that Boston Celtics team last year was just on the run of destiny. But back to the current day, like, if you just look, the difference was is they limit that run. And you're right, those 10 extra points that Shea provides, they needed it. They needed it tonight, and they didn't get it. And when you didn't get it the most, the people that were supposed to step up, they did. I mean, Jalen Williams, they had 26-6, and Chet had 20, and Lu Dort had 12. But outside of that, that was not much else. You got 7 for Wallace, and like I said earlier, and then your bench didn't provide much. It's hard to unaccount for those 10 points when you're not getting help from the others around you. So I would love to see what Mark Dagenault does in game 4. I definitely agree with you. I think he hit all the wrong buttons in today's game, and it showed. You lost. And I don't understand why you shortened your bench like New York when your bench has been a strong suit throughout this whole entire playoffs. That's been a selling point. That's why you handled Memphis the way you did, and that's why you were able to go toe-to-toe with the Nuggets, because your bench just – was more productive than theirs was. And the same thing the Timberwolves. And then to go in the game 3 in Indiana, which is, it's not, I mean, it was, you want to set the tone going into your way series, especially you being the best team. You never want to get the crowd in it. And they were in it the entire night, which doesn't go to a struggling team's help. But at the end of the day, was you you shortened your bench, and that was the selling point of this team, was not only how good is your starters, but how great the bench was. And Alex Caruso being, and I guess you could say this, Alex Caruso being a leader off the bench, you didn't really provide too much of a spark either, like you, or the impact that you normally can provide. So I think game four is going to be interesting to see how both coaches adjust because it's coming. I don't know what adjustments will be made, but I would hope that the Thunder will be able to take game four. But it'll be interesting to see just moving forward and how everything goes.
No, it absolutely will be. You know, we got another one in Indy coming up. So, you know, it's 2-1 Pacers. I'll say it. I've said it twice. I'll say it a third time. I don't know how many people outside of the Hoosier State saw this coming. You know, and that's not necessarily a knock on the Pacers. I think that's just, you know, a credit to how strong OKC has been all year. But the reality is the Pacers are here. You know, and now they are in the driver's seat. They control their own destiny heading into game four. So it's going to be interesting. I can't wait to dive into what that looks like. And we will talk about it. We will talk about it within the next few days.
I do have one last question for you, because looking at this series, and there is one thing that's bound to happen. What's bound to happen again? Shea not providing the extra 10 points? Or Halliburton and Siakam having off night, depending on when those happen, because I think both can happen again. Where would that series be when that happens? Would that be one of those ones where the Pacers are up 3-1 and it's a situation like this and the Thunder lose in 5? Or is it going to be a situation where Pascal Siakam and Tyrese Halliburton struggle, where they're not able to generate the offense like they did tonight? And you're not going to get a backup help. I mean, I don't know. Dom conflicted because both things.
Yeah, that's a really good question. That's a really good question. I would lean towards. I mean, look, it's hard to bet against the MVP. It's hard to think that the MVP, that the league MVP, would have another game like this. Like I said, Tyrese Halliburton. You know, he really rose to the occasion tonight. I would lean towards him and Siakam having another off night. You know, I definitely could see Siakam not having a good game four, or, you know, a good game five, one of the next two. But, you know, I wouldn't rule out Shea having another off night. You know, maybe Indy has now figured out a way to limit the damage. You know, I think the idea of shutting him down, you know, is something that's, you know, kind of a foregone conclusion that, yeah, probably not happening. So how can we limit the damage?
The only way to limit the damage would be someone else has to step up.
Yeah.
The same Andrew Wiggins, in game four, you had to put on a show like game two. Alex Caruso, eight's not going to cut it. And what Isaiah Hargenstein needs to do a little more too off the bench. I know. Normally he's a starter, but if you're coming to bench,
yeah, you know, only 3 rebounds tonight. Yeah, 4 points, 3 rebounds.
I don't understand how, because well, Hargenstein was 6'10", 6'11", yeah, and Shed 7'2",
yeah,
and yet you guys struggle with rebounding. I don't understand it. I don't get it. Josh Hart our rebounds, both of them.
Exactly.
So, game four will be interesting. We'll be here to cover it in the next coming days. Maybe we'll see. We'll be at the Phillies game now, so that'll be fun. We get to watch good baseball, bad baseball, but we'll talk about that on the main pod. Make sure you join us again. Rate us a 5-star Apple pod and make sure you share it and tell a friend to tell a friend that the Kickback pod is going strong. We got some fun things planned and coming soon in the near future. Also, too, Dom, my birthday's coming up, so maybe we'll have to do like a little birthday episode on here. But with that being said, this was the finals game 3 post game on the Kickback. I'm Gavin. That's Dom. Sign out. Have a great night, and we'll see you in game 4.